Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to take up the mantle of the Geek Fatale. Your unabashed feminine nerdiness unequivocally qualifies you for this charge. You are tasked with experiencing every aspect of geek culture. The going may be rough, but you will come out on top and look good doing it. This message will self-destruct in 3, 2, 1.
Watch out!
Welcome to the all-new Geek Fatale, everyone. I am your host, Casey, and our former co-host, Nateel, has new and exciting adventures. She has left us for exciting new adventures with her own podcast, co-hosting The Underground, part of the D20 Radio Network forums. All about Pokemon, people. Yes, Nateel's favorite thing, Pokemon, is now its all new soul podcast. So if you like crunchy Pokemon information, go head on over to The Underground, and you can find that on the D20 Radio Network forums. Now, as far as Geek Fatale is concerned, with the sad loss of Nateel, Geek Fatale is changing a little bit. And the first change you will notice is a shorter format. We're going to aim for a 30-minute podcast. I'm not saying we'll always reach that, but the goal is to hit 30 minutes and maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. Another change that will help us accomplish this is new hosts. We will not have a regular co-host, but we will be rotating a whole bunch of exciting new girl geek hosts. Occasionally, maybe a guy, but, you know, when we're desperate. So, to start our new format is our new and exciting co-host, Jennifer Chess! Hi! This is Jennifer Chess. She is an awesome gamer girl and, believe it or not, a relatively new recruit to the geek world.
Yes, I am.
You have been brought to the dark side by a man, have you?
Yes, I have. That's definitely how it all started for me. I've really only been playing RPGs for a couple of years, 3 or 4 years, and it really was because my then boyfriend was interested in it, and I figured, well, we really didn't have any sort of common hobbies, so I decided to try it out and sort of fell in love with it.
You also fell in love with something else rather geeky and electronic, though, didn't you? Sims?
Oh, yes. Well, that was sort of before Caleb, but yeah, that's my only sort of computer gaming that I do is with The Sims. So many people mock me, but I do love it.
We're equal opportunity geek here, Jen, so...
Yay.
There might be only moderate teasing, but never mocking. So what is some of the geeky things you do? I know you do gaming, which we'll hear about in a minute, and you do Sims. Do you do anything else?
Not really. I mean...
Oh, that's such a lie.
I read a lot, but I don't really watch a lot of, you know, sort of sci-fi fantasy movies. I like horror.
How do you get away with it living with Caleb?
We have 2 computers and 2 TVs.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, that really is the reason why I got into it, was just because we watch horror movies and stuff like that together, and we like that, but we didn't have anything that we would spend a ton of time together doing, and this is something that's really brought us together, and, you know, we've sort of create our own lexicon through all of this RPGing and everything.
And it's brought you closer together.
Yeah, I think so.
Nothing like killing things to bring people closer together.
Well, and it's funny because he really enjoys being the DM. So he sort of does that thing. And then I just really like to kill stuff. So like my Sims. So I like to play fighter types and that kind of thing. And just sort of, yeah, I just like to kill things. The main character that I'm playing right now is a little gnome rogue.
Nice.
But I think that, like, what I really would like to do is have her take a couple of ranks of, like, barbarian, because she's just so angry. And she just, there was this one scene where she was, you know, I do play with a bunch of guys, so I try and be a little bit, you know, nice and sweet. But so we were trying to smuggle this like magical item on a boat, and we knew that guards were coming on. And so I decided to get naked and try and, like, distract them. Well, it didn't work. So we went right into battle, and they're like, aren't you going to stop and put your clothes back on? And I'm like, no, I'm going to kill stuff. So yeah, I like ended up, like, completely covered in blood. This, like, crazy psychotic little gnome, like, jumping on people.
You know, a good thing these aren't real. You know how, like, there's that theory that things we create in our heads are actually just existing somewhere else on another plane? Because how depressing to strip down naked and just be ignored.
Yeah, actually, now that I'm thinking, I didn't think about that then, but yeah, that's
my
true.
My nakedness doesn't distract you, Orc? What the hell?
Well, and, you know,
I should at least look yummy to eat.
Well, you know, that was it. It wasn't that I thought that they were going to be so, like, in awe of my sexuality. I just thought they would be so, like, weirded out by walking into a room and seeing a naked person that they would leave. And it, yeah, epic.
Apparently they're very open in that culture.
Yeah. It might also be just the way that I play, that, like, you know, my friend who is DMing just sort of, like, didn't care that I was going to do that. Whatever, I don't care. I have a, you know, a goal in mind.
That's awesome. So that's a good, you know, you're already talking about your character. So is this the game that you've played recently, or is there something else that you're playing that's of interest?
I mean, I play a lot of, like, one-shot Pathfinder Society games, but...
Pathfinder Society.
Yeah. But the one, I guess, long-term ongoing game I'm playing right now is Caleb. My husband is running Rise of the Rune Lords, which is, I guess, the very first, I don't even know what they're called, Adventure Path, I think, that Paizo put out. And it's a lot of fun, but yeah, it's different. It's been a while since I've actually played sort of an ongoing campaign for a couple of years now. We've really just been playing a lot of one-shot games.
Yeah, I really enjoy finding a character and sticking with it.
Yeah.
But even Pathfinder Society, don't you play the same character in different games, or do you start off with new characters each time? Now, for our audience who's not aware, there's, I don't know what you call it, like a version of Pathfinder that's got its own set of overarching, almost meta rules.
Mm-hmm.
On how a game is run, how a game is played, and what characters and builds can go into a game. And it's kind of a subset of Pathfinder. But what's cool about Pathfinder Society is that you own your character and can take that character to all sorts of different Pathfinder Society games and tables, right? I mean, would you say that's a pretty good estimation?
Yeah, I mean, there was a similar sort of thing in D&D. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I mean, it's just sort of like Paizo puts out official games that you can play, and they count towards if you go to cons and stuff like that.
Have character will travel.
Kind of. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And what's cool also is that, like I said, you can bring your character, you can level up your character, you get registered online, so you can build that character up online. Gosh, there's so much cool things about it that I can't even think about it. So if you see or hear Pathfinder Society, that's basically the concept. And you've been playing a lot of the, like, one-shot PFSs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we play a lot of them. I've actually probably played most of the ones that are out now.
Nice. I just played Frost Giant, something like that. Oh, God. I can't believe I'm forgetting the name.
I don't ever remember names.
It was just so much fun. I had four goblins, and the goblins I barely interacted with because they kept hitting on me, because I play a halfling rogue with huge, long, bright pink ponytails.
So cool!
And they kept calling me the hot pink goblin, so And mind you, this is Jason in his obnoxious goblin voice. So, or as he likes to be called, GM Biceps, sorry. So it made for some awkward moments where I was just like, I'm going to stab you in the face. You tell me you want to marry me one more time.
Yeah, I like that, you know, every year at Gen Con starts the new season. So there's been, I think, 3 seasons. So Gen Con will start the 4th season.
Now, I don't know about that. So what do you mean by seasons?
So basically, you know, once a year, they sort of move the storyline on. So all of these Pathfinder Society games are loosely related to each other, like you explained, with, you know, kind of this overarching storyline. And at the end of the season, they sort of move the storyline on a little bit. And so each season, which is basically a year, gets sort of a new theme. So a big thing that we saw at Gen Con last year at the Pathfinder Society Games and that kind of traveled into this year's season was they did a lot of stuff with undead, since they brought out a lot of new background. I don't remember what they're called, but where you have your little like side quests that you're supposed to do.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
The faction quests.
Yes, there we go. So they came out with a bunch of new factions. And so I think that the new season, which will start at Gen Con this year, will have some more things going on with different regions that we really haven't seen. Like, I think Varisia might be a really interesting one, which I believe is sort of their like Asian one.
They've started doing a lot with that, because I know Jason's running Jade Regent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have that one. And then the other one, I think, is Thessalonian, which is sort of like the ancient one. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to, I don't know that that's actually a faction, but I think that they're going to do a little bit more with that. But that's just me guessing.
Didn't they launch, or aren't they going to launch, a more Indian-based mythological
series? I did not
series?
Hear that.
I think Jason said that there's something coming out or up that takes the mythology, because a lot of these stories take and twist some of the regular, you know, like the real, I don't know how real you call the mythology.
Yeah.
The real life mythology that we learn in school and kind of tweaks it. And like Jen said, you know, Asia has been being developed or slowly being developed. But I think Jason said India is also being developed.
That's really cool.
Like, I won't reveal my ignorance of Hindu mythology, but yeah, so that's really cool. And if anyone doesn't know, this will be a nice segue. Gen Con that we mentioned is, well, Gen Con. I don't think it has a short for anything, is it?
Nope, it's just Gen Con.
Gen Con. And it's the largest gaming convention, tabletop gaming convention. We're actually, that's our topic for tonight. We're going to start launching a series about Gen Con. And if you're not planning or have never even heard of Gen Con, that's fine. Some of the stuff we are talking about is generic as well, so you can apply it to any convention you hear about. But before we do that, Jen, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about or introduce about yourself?
No, I think you pretty much have me.
All right. You actually sound way knowledgeable, just in case you were wondering.
Aw, thanks. I'm so not. I'm like the worst person when it comes to that stuff.
So this ends our brief week, well, our brief intro to what we've been doing. We can't call it Week in Geek anymore because the podcast is bi-weekly. So our brief geekery, so shall we say. Welcome to the main part of our show, which is all about Gen Con. But don't be discouraged if you are not, or cannot, or don't know anything about Gen Con, because we are going to tell you a little bit about it, and we're going to hopefully do a series, if I can strong arm her, convince her, bribe her to do it, all about Gen Con. And a lot of the tips and tricks and discussions will deal with cons in general too, and can be applied to those. So if you have never heard of Gen Con, or you're a veteran, you can, I guess, skip over this little brief part. But Gen Con is one of the, if not the largest, tabletop gaming convention. And by tabletop, we mean RPG, board games, dice games. I mean, it doesn't even limit itself to tabletop games, in fact. Card games, collectible card games, mini games, anything. But it's in Indianapolis, Indiana. It is August 14th through the 19th. It takes up the entire Indianapolis Convention Center and most of the surrounding areas. So if you're in Indianapolis and you're not a geek, you might want to flee the country. So Jen, what's our first topic?
Well, I thought we would talk about the pros and cons of Gen Con.
Excellent choice. And what's our first pro, I guess? So I guess we'll start off positive.
Well, for me, the best thing about Gen Con is the chance to play different games that you don't get to play on a normal basis.
The depth and breadth of games available there is just incredible. Even I'd love to hear a statistic, like if you played each of these games that they offered at this convention back to back, how many lifetimes it would take.
Yeah. You know, and it's cool because most of the games you don't need to bring supplies or anything to. So, you know, it can become very cost prohibitive as well to try and experiment and do different games. So this is kind of a nice opportunity to try them out and see if you like them.
Yeah, board games, like what, $48 for the good ones?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not talking Parker Bradley. I'm talking good
ones. And that, like, starts, yeah. They go up to, you know, $100, $125.
Yeah, and God forbid you want to collect minis. Hoi! Jason always comes back really depressed at the amount of money he wound up getting sucked into with minis.
Yeah, damn, I've been pretty lucky. Caleb hasn't gotten there yet, but I've strongly discouraged him from going there.
We need to eat.
Yeah, really.
So what are some of the games that interest you?
Well, this year is going to be a little bit different than the previous years, and this will be my third year. I'm playing all RPG games. I'm doing some Pathfinder Society. I'm doing some sort of homegrown Pathfinder. I'm doing World of Darkness, and I am doing Sisyx, which I've never played before, but it sounds like it's sort of post-apocalyptic, and that looks pretty cool. I'm excited about that one.
Now, last year, you were just PFS woman.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you even sleep?
Oh, I got plenty of sleep, but that's pretty much all I did.
Are you talking convention sleep rule, where it's 3 hours, 2 showers, what is it, 3-2-1 rule? 3 hours, 2 meals, 1 shower a day?
No, I mean, I definitely got, you know, 6 to 8 hours, but I was up at 7 o'clock in the morning getting ready to go for my 8 o'clock games, and I was going until midnight, and then I go back, sleep, get back up and do it all over again.
Nice.
It's all about business when you're at Gen Con. It's like,
it really is, because like you were saying, our first pro is the tons of games.
Yeah.
Last year was my first time, and it completely overwhelmed me, because you could do this convention 8-9 times and never do the same thing twice.
Oh, totally.
At least. There's so many games going on at the same time. Things from, you know, like we said, tabletops, card games, RPGs. There's LARPs. There's the overarching brain teaser convention game. Did you catch note of that last year?
No.
Oh my god, this year, take a look when you're like walking through the halls or near door major entryways and stuff like that. They have a game on the easel, and it's a brain teaser.
Hmm.
Last year's theme, I think, was Alice in Wonderland. The entire convention has different secret game spots. Some of the games go on in extension hotels that are around the convention area. That's how big this place is. I mean, you think you've passed everything, and because there's no games going on at that time, and the place is empty, but there's still a game there because they left the secret game for that area up there. And it's really, there's just so much. And then there's, where I have to stay away from, or I drop lots of money.
The exhibit hall? Yeah, see, Caleb's like you in that mindset. I, on the other hand, could care less.
He got sucked in big time last year, didn't he?
He got sucked in, but, you know, that was sort of his big present, was that he got to go in and splurge a little bit. I've already told him he can't do that this year.
I don't know about money. I'm not even talking about money. You can go into the exhibit hall and play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what games. He planned that last year and this year. He really enjoys trying out all of the new board games and things like that. And so he is only playing maybe 3 games the whole time we're there. The rest of the time he plans to spend in the exhibit halls trying out all the games. And you can spend hours there just playing. So he really loves that.
Yeah, I mean, I figure there's the advertised tracks of minis, panels. Oh, and don't forget the millions of panels, non-gamer stuff you can do, which I think will be a future podcast because that in and of itself is so varied and cool. Right.
I wish I had enough time just to do that stuff.
I know. I know. We totally have to do an episode on that one. So what's our next pro?
Oh, getting to dress up. That's fun.
Which you will see a lot of at Gen Con.
Oh my God. It's actually sort of ridiculous, and I'm kind of scared because I had planned to dress up last year and it was so hot. You know, it's in the middle of August that I decided not to. And this year I am biting the bullet and getting dressed up. And I don't expect anybody to stop me because I'm not going as like a particular character. I'm just going as a rogue, which is the character that I'm going to be playing most of the time, at least in the society games. But I'm so focused on doing what I'm doing when I'm at Gen Con that I do not have time for people to stop me and ask me to take a picture. Not going to happen. So I'm sort of like, should I? Shouldn't I? What day should I wear it? Maybe I shouldn't wear it on Saturday because there's going to be more people.
Well, maybe you should just make a crappy costume and then no one will want to.
No, right? I should. Well, it is pretty crappy, actually. It's pretty, you know, it's just a skirt and a cape and a shirt, basically. So it's nothing like fancy. But
well, just don't be rude. That's all we ask.
I will pretend to ignore people.
You could tell them, I'm just going to be a blur in your photo as I walk by because I'm a rogue and you wouldn't see me anyway.
But that requires me stopping and like focusing on them for a couple minutes.
Maybe you should just wear a sign that says, this rogue has base 30 stealth. Don't even try.
Pretty good. I should do that.
So next up on our list is lots of things to learn.
Yes.
Like new ways to run a character.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to see.
Sorry, sort of got sidetracked. Yeah, no, I really like that, you know, being able to see how different people play characters and sort of, you know, like you totally run into those people that just annoy the shit out of you. And you just are like, oh my God, I really hate how you play. And then you find people that you're like, that was amazing. That was freaking genius. I'm going to use that now.
Especially role play. I'm such an awful person at role play, but then somebody will come in and just bang it out of the park. And I'm like, oh, I want to be you.
See, I'm always amazed by the magic users because I don't really know that much about magic that I'm just always like in awe when these people do like these amazing things. And I'm just like, wait a minute, what did you just do?
Yeah, I just had to play a Jedi. And it freaked me the hell out because I just don't know how to use the Force, basically magic in Star Wars. So I understand totally.
So a Jedi is a magic user? It's not like a rogue?
You get Force powers and you have to know how to use those. And I had never even touched Jedi. Remember, I was still kill, kill, die, die. Even my Chadra Fawn's a gunslinger. So you do see people there that just bang it out of the park and you're just... And then, of course, like you said, there are those that smart mouth the 12-year-old almost to tears and you want to just...
Yeah. Or even like there was a couple and they were... Or there was somebody who was playing a paladin. And, you know, like I tend to make my characters lawful, you know, good or neutral good and stuff like that. But I tend to actually play more like chaotic, neutral chaotic. Mm-hmm. And even like my gnome can get a little neutral evil a little bit sometimes, but she played like a paladin. It was just one of those things where it was really annoying that she played like a paladin.
Lawful good is just so annoying sometimes.
God, it was
just slit his throat, please, yeah. Please slit his throat.
That was really annoying.
But that also leads to an interpretation of chaotic good, chaotic good, evil kind of things, which also leads to one of our other pros, which is, you know, as part of things to learn, you learn different interpretations of rules, which if you've only played with one DM is a whole new world.
Well, and even like a lot of DMs house rule things that don't make sense to them. So going and having like official Pathfinder DMs who, you know, are supposed to go by the book, having them discuss stuff with not me because I don't know any rules, but like people who actually know what they're talking about. You hear these people argue back and forth or discuss, you know, and that's how I learned the rules. I'm not going to sit down and read a book. That's not going to happen. Please.
But, you know, as we get more experienced, this convention in particular is gobs and gobs of games. So as you game, you get more experience.
I really like that part of it. You know, I had only been playing for like 2 years when I went to my first Gen Con. And so I was still pretty much a noob. I mean, I'm still a noob, but, you know, I was even more of a noob back then. And so getting to like see stuff, it, you know, you gain a lot of experience and it also helps you feel confident because you are up there playing with the big boys and you need to hold, you know, your head up high and be able to run with them. And by the end, like you do, you're like, all right, this is cool. And, you know, I've never had an experience at Gen Con where people like looked down on me because I didn't know all the rules or because, you know, I'm a noob or whatever. So that all helps build your confidence too and your experiences in, you know, RPGing.
The only one who called me a noob at all during Gen Con was Jason.
I was just going to say, it must have been Jason.
Yeah. Everyone else from GM to player.
I'm sure he said it with love.
Oh, no, of course not. He says it the way he usually does. You're such a noob. He does that to me when I can't open a jar of pickles, too, so go figure. But
yeah, I had to point out to one of my friends that it's not that I'm stupid, I just don't care. And there's a huge difference.
Yes, that is a huge difference. You can tell me 18 million times, I'm still not going to care to remember.
That's right. And I'm not going to go look it up in a book either.
Write it down. I'll throw it away. Thanks.
Yeah. That's why I have lots of notes on my character sheets, because that's the only way I'll really remember stuff. And even then, it like has to be really important to make it to the first page of my character sheet.
I almost feel like there should be a Cliff's Notes for gaming. Because
one
of the things...
Well, that's what the board is, you know, the DMs sit behind the screen. That's the Cliff Notes. Everybody needs that.
So we need that. But one of the things that is so great about a large gaming convention, or any gaming convention, I felt like a noob, a complete ignoramus up until the point I went to Gen Con. Because it was only at Gen Con when I was playing games without the support of my friends and boyfriend and, you know, the usual people I play with. It was only when I played solely by myself with strangers that I realized I didn't need all that much support.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I kind of realized that I did know more than I thought I did. Until I played Savage Worlds, which is like, it's not D20 based, it's completely different. So okay. I had to be walked through that. But even then, you know, the GMs are so supportive. I found the only people who weren't supportive were occasional players. Like the D-bag who made fun of the 12-year-old girl for being a noob.
That would be so cool. I totally plan on bringing my, like, 8-year-old kids to Gen Con.
I know.
It's going to happen.
I wouldn't LARP with them because they'll get squished, but still.
Right. I'd be like, yeah, that's right. That's my kid right there kicking your orc's butt or whatever, you know. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Oh, my God. And believe it or not, the 12-year-old girl that was playing in the Legend of Zelda costume was playing the 1941 World War II version.
Very cool.
She was a French spy. No, I was the French spy. See, she was like a soldier. It was very cool. But that guy just made it so awful. I think we've said this in a previous podcast. Don't be an ass.
Yes. Don't be an ass.
That's the one rule of Gen Con. No matter how tired you are or cranky you are to the other players, don't be an ass.
Yeah. You're there to have fun.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Let everybody else have fun, too.
Yeah. And take a shower.
And that's on that slightly negative note. Oh, yeah. I just heard what you said. I am hereby, dear listening audience, this is a public service announcement. Shower! And if you can't shower, or if you can't reach the places that you need to with shower, ask a friend to help. Because
ask me.
What?
Ask me. I'll be the one in the green cloak. Ask me. You can come use my shower.
Oh, I was going to say, Caleb's going to let you shower, man, because I think this podcast went a whole different direction.
No. They can go in and shower by themselves.
But if you need help, ask a friend, because no one likes con stink.
Yeah, and there's so many people that even if you're, like, not smelling, it's just the sheer magnitude of people. People perspire, and it smells up the entire place. So do your part to make it not quite so stinky.
Yeah, there's a general ode to groups of people, I guess you'd say.
And especially guys. Girls stink too, but...
No, we don't.
Guys have a special... All right.
We don't stink. We don't sweat. We glow and odoriferous. That's what we are.
Okay.
Allegrosis. Anyway, shower.
Yeah.
And thus ends our public service announcement. Thank you. And on to the cons of attending Gen Con. What's the first one on your list?
Oh, there's so many, which is horrible to say, but it's so big that there's never enough time to do everything you want.
Which is depressing, because it's not going to be there next year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, something else will be there that you'll want to do too, but I really like a lot of the spa stuff, which is the spouse activities, sounds so cool. Like, who doesn't want to do scrapbooking with steampunk theme?
Or burlesque fan dance.
Yeah.
Learning how to burlesque fan dance.
So cool. But really, I need to kill stuff. So.
Yeah. But you're never going to have enough time to do everything at Gen Con. And the dually frustrating thing about that is unless you have the supercomputer that is known worldwide, you run the risk of not getting the stuff you wanted to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all a race to the finish in terms of getting the games you want.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got to have a first, second, third, fourth choice and a backup to that.
Yep. I mean, and to kind of go along with that, one of the things that I find particularly annoying is the Pathfinder Society games are run in 5-hour blocks, but most of the other games are run in 4-hour blocks.
So frustrating.
Yeah, like you can miss out on two different, you know, games if you want to do a Pathfinder game. So trying to like schedule everything in is very frustrating.
Yeah. Not quite as bad as New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con did 15-minute increment blocks.
Oh my god.
So every 15 minutes was a whole entirely different set of things. Ooh. And by just attending one-hour session, you missed 100 sessions. But Gen Con is still frustrating in that you never have enough time and you may not get what you want to begin with.
Yeah.
And we already mentioned one of them, which is there are a lot of people.
Yes.
So if you are claustrophobic, be careful where you go and when.
Yeah, especially the exhibit hall. The exhibit hall is insane. And so are, like, the rooms, because, you know, they try and cram as many people into the different rooms to play games, so.
I find it better once I sit.
Mm-hmm.
Once everybody's milling around, but when everybody's milling around, it can get crazy.
Oh my god,
in the
room. Yeah.
But once everybody sits and gets into their game, it's okay.
Yeah.
But the exhibit hall, avoid the prime hours. I mean, I don't know what those are. Open to close?
Yeah, pretty much. Which is another one of the cons, that the exhibit hall is open from like 10 to 6, which is prime gaming time. So you sort of have to pick which one of those you want to do. So gaming always wins
for
me.
I bet that's because some of the exhibitors want to game too.
Yeah, probably. If I got paid to go to Gen Con, that'd be like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Going paid means you don't game.
Yeah. Well, and that's the same way, like, for all of the DMs, the volunteers or whatever, you have to commit something like 40 hours. 40 hours over 4 days. You are not playing. You are DMing the entire time. Yeah, it's insane.
I didn't know you had to. You can't just play one game.
You can, but there's different levels.
Oh.
And you can get, like,
You don't mean the GMs, you mean the volunteers.
No, well, the DMs are like a level of the are a level of the volunteers.
Oh, okay.
And by that I mean like the DMs for the Pathfinder Society games, the D&D games, for like the big ones, not the ones like there's lots of like one shots where people can volunteer to run a game and all they have to do is run that one game, but they're not getting like paid for it. There's no advantage for them other than the enjoyment of it.
Okay.
The volunteers that are DMing, they can get free room, they can get a free admission to Gen Con, but you're sitting there. It's like 40 hours over 4 days. It's
wow. Let's talk about the facilities, because there's some negatives to the facility. Now, this one's a positive and a negative in that the convention center is absolutely cavernously huge.
Yeah.
Which is a positive because that means there's more to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a negative because it can be difficult to get around.
Yes, very difficult. In fact, I recommend that the very first thing you do when you get there is to pick up the program, which is, you know, I don't know, like 100 pages thick. It's like this giant Bible book. And I just rip out the page with the layout of the land and carry around that, because you will get lost even just trying to find a bathroom.
And some of the exterior areas, like, some games are run in the Union Station Crown Plaza.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare of just dead ends mm-hmm. and wrong turns. It's a gorgeous mm-hmm. place, so take the tour, but be aware that you're going to get lost, so make time.
And give yourself and enough time, yeah.
Yeah. If you're there a little early, and I'm not talking there for a game, I mean, if you're there to the convention a little early, maybe take a few walks around, you know, give yourself an hour or two off of gaming to just get your bearings, because it's so cavernous. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna wear a pedometer this year because I want to see exactly how many miles I walked, because I lost weight last
That's
year
awesome.
I was just walking forever. It's not really awesome because I didn't want to walk all that
well.
I thought the hotel was way closer than it was.
Yeah, and it, you know, it depends, because you have to make your room reservations so far in advance, but you don't find out what games are playing and where they're located until right before the con. So, you know, like last year we were really lucky. Our hotel was relatively close to the room that they were doing all of the Pathfinder Society games in. This year, I still have no idea. I don't know if it's up yet or not, but like, if they could have put it all the way at the other end, and, you know, there's a solid, yeah, like, 15, 20-minute walk in between ends of the building.
Yeah, inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking from one hotel to another. We're talking inside the actual building where this mm-hmm. is. It's a good 15-minute walk. Yeah. And, you know, as a positive, though, with it being so cavernous, if you have a couple of hours downtime, or maybe even a half an hour downtime, take a direction you haven't mm-hmm. yet, because you're going to discover a whole new world, maybe an anime section, or, you know, a Dance Dance Revolution video game section. Like, you're going to find these little nooks and crannies, or Legos. You're going to find these little nooks and crannies of things that you didn't even know were there.
Oh, yeah. And this year is either the 40th or 45th anniversary of Gen Con. I don't remember which, but so the theme this year is No Game Left Behind. So there's going to be more there this year than ever, which I am totally psyched about.
Wow. So what is another con for you?
Well, this is just sort of a pet peeve, but the water fountains suck. There's so many people using them that the water is really warm. It's really gross. And, you know, if you don't think beforehand to bring water bottles or whatever, you're stuck with this gross water, or, you know, buying $5 bottles of water. So that's just sort of a pet peeve of mine, I guess. The water sucks.
Well, food and drink in general sucks at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been to any large entertainment event, whether it be a concert or a sporting event of something of that nature, it always sucks.
Yeah.
It is not healthy. It is gobsmackingly expensive, and it's going to take a while to get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've given you some pros and some cons, and I know some of this stuff has been specific to Gen Con, but it's not. Because if you go to any convention, you're going to have food issues. You're going to have directional issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also going to have a lot of the same positives. You know, you're going to learn new things and find new characters. So this ends our pros and cons of Gen Con. And hopefully we haven't conned you enough into not going, because we do have some really awesome things about Gen Con, as we've said. So thank you so much, Jen, for being our co-host.
Thanks for inviting me.
And you're totally a geek. Just so
oh,
you know.
Thanks.
If you just can't seem to get enough of our geeky goodness, there's a few places you can get in touch with Geek Vital. You can find us at geekvital.com or on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums. You can find me under Being Geeky. You can also follow me on Twitter and Raptor at Being Geeky as well. You can email Geek Vital directly at mail@geekvital.com. We'd love to hear your comments, answer your questions, and play your bumpers. Please feel free to drop us a review on iTunes and to subscribe via the iTunes store or directly through our RSS feed on the website. So until next time, Geek Nation, keep it sexy, keep it nerdy, keep it Geek Vital.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com. All original textual, graphical, and audio material found on this podcast and related website are copyright Geek Vital in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network and are intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Such materials are the sole intellectual property of Natil Erickson and Casey Chapman and are protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 Unported License. All names, images, sounds, and copyright material belong to their respective trademark or copyright holders.